Hey everybody, it's Brock Polk, and I want to thank you for listening to this message from Heritage Church of Christ. We would be thrilled to share more content like this with you and make it easy for you to share it with others. You can find more messages like this on our podcast, or you can download our smartphone app by searching for Heritage Church of Christ in your app store. But most importantly, I hope this message encourages you to take a next step toward a thriving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, we're just about at the end of another year. Boy, did it go by in a hurry. Amen? We're 2 days from 2019. I didn't know that I would ever live to see 2019, and yet here we are. And every time we come to the end of 1 year and a new year is stretched out in front of us, I think about a line from Shakespeare in Macbeth. He said this: "If you can look into the seeds of time and tell which ones will grow, speak then to me." If you can look into the seeds of time and tell which ones will grow, speak then to me. Well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, modern interpretation: if you can look into the future and accurately predict what's going to happen, you've got my attention. I want to hear what you've got to say. The problem is, none of us can. None of us can. Life comes at us hard and fast and unpredictable. There are twists and turns in the road and bumps that take us off our seats because life is so unpredictable. I pulled the AP list of the top 10 stories from 2018. These are the top 10, according to the AP, news stories of 2018. Number 10, the murder of a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, in the embassy of Saudi Arabia. Number 9, climate change. Number 8, California wildfires. More than 22,000 structures destroyed, 100 dead. Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. Number 6, immigration. Number 5, midterm elections. Number 4, mass shooting in Thousand Oaks, California, where an ex-Marine walked into a country western place and started shooting. Number 3, the Me Too movement. What began in 2017 gained great momentum in 2018. Number 2, the Trump-Russia probe. Number 1 story in 2018, according to the AP, the Parkland school shooting in Parkland, Florida, where an ex-student came in with an automatic rifle, 17 dead. Most of those things you couldn't have predicted. They just come at us like life comes at us. Some of you may be living here when a year ago, if someone had told you you were going to be living in the Metroplex, you wouldn't have believed them. Some of you had health struggles in 2018, that if someone had told you at the end of last year you were going to struggle with these issues, you might not have believed them. For some of you, 2018 brought tragedy and heartbreak. And again, if someone had told you ahead of time it was going to happen, you just wouldn't have believed it. Life comes hard and fast and unpredictable. And all of that brings me to a passage in the book of James. I want to ask you to turn to James toward the end of your New Testament, the book of James, chapter 4. We're going to read 3 or 4 verses together that remind us how fast and unpredictable life is. Now, let me tell you something about James before we read this passage. James doesn't have a tactful bone in his body. James never comes in the back door about anything. James kind of drives up in your front door and gets all up in your grill about stuff you don't want to listen to. James walks up to you, puts a double barrel in your chest, and kind of blows you away with the truth that he's got to say. James. You open the book of James and you start reading, and he starts getting on you about things that you really don't want to pay attention to because they're painful. Like things like prejudice and favoritism, things like quarreling and faith and works, the use of the tongue. And when you get to chapter 4, James talks about something that most of us overlook in the course of our daily lives. And here's what he says, James 4, verse 13. Now, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Now, let's stop right there. Notice how he starts. NIV says, now listen. Some of the versions say, come now. One of the versions says, listen up. It's the ancient equivalent of us saying to one another, hey, pay attention. I've got something important I want to say to you. James says, now come. Now, what are they saying? Well, they're saying, let's go to this or that city and spend a year there and trade and make money. James isn't attacking wise planning. James is attacking presumption. What is presumption? Well, it's the mistaken confidence that we're in charge and in control of our lives. James says, you are going to make a plan for the next year of your life and leave God out of the plan? Because you see, there's no mention of God. Let's go to this city or that, and let's stay a year there, and let's trade and make money. There's no mention of God. And James says, are you going to make a plan for your life and not even give thought to the God of heaven? How dare you be so arrogant? How dare you presume that you're in charge of your life? He says, next verse, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Isn't it amazing what we know? It flabbergasts me, what the things that we know. Like, you get one of these and you can talk, you can contact people around the world in seconds. You have at your fingertips a small computer that can give you information that you never even dreamed of when you were a child. We sent people to the moon, astronauts to the moon, and brought them home safely again, not once, but several times. In 1997, we launched a probe to go to Saturn. It took 7 years for that probe traveling through space to get to Saturn. Once it got to Saturn, it orbited around Saturn. Part of it separated and landed on the moon Titan, one of Saturn's moons, and has sent back unbelievable pictures of Saturn. We launch astronauts up into space, and they build this amazing thing called a space station where you can live there indefinitely. And we shuttle rockets up there back and forth. And we pick up ones who've been there for months, and we bring them home, and we drop off more, and we take supply. I mean, it is amazing what we know. And surgeries and the advances in medicine. Why, when I was a kid, some of the things they're doing now, we could not have even begun to dream. It is amazing what we know. But listen, church, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If we only knew. Last a week ago, yesterday, the 22nd of December, in the middle of the night, a tsunami struck the coast of Indonesia without warning. The destruction was indescribable. 430 people dead, 125 missing. If we had only known, we could have warned them. We could have told them the day before, get out, because we know what's happening tomorrow. But we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. How dare we make a plan for the next year of our lives and leave God out of the plan? He goes on to say, as he tries to give us some perspective, he says, what is your life? You're a mist. One of the versions says you're a vapor. One of the versions says you're a fog. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I went out the other night to take the trash out front. All the houses on the street are lit up. Though it's dark, it's just bright as it could be because all the houses are lit up with Christmas lights. And I walked out there, and it was a cool evening. As I took the trash out, I did what I always do. I looked up into the sky. God's sky amazes me. And every time I get a chance to look up in the sky, I like to do it. And as I'm out there and I'm looking up in the sky, I exhaled. You know what came out of my mouth? A vapor that appeared for a moment and then was gone. James says, let me give you some perspective. What is your life? That is your life. But from everlasting to everlasting is God. What is your life? It's there and then it's gone. This week, our daughter is going to celebrate a birthday. A few years ago was her 40th birthday. And we were talking, she and I, about what a big day that was to her. And she said, Dad, I remember clearly your 40th birthday. I said, yeah. She said, I was 15 then. And I said, and what did you think about people who were 40 years old? She said, man, they are so old. I said, well, now that you're 40, what do you think about 40? She says, it feels so young. I said, sweetheart, you won't believe how fast the next 25 years go. I mean, you just blink and it's gone by and you're standing there looking back on your life saying, what in the world happened? What happened to that black-headed 25-year-old guy I used to look at in the mirror? Gone. Gone. James says, let me bring you some perspective. You who would make a plan without God, let me make this perspective for you. What is your life? You're a vapor that appears for a moment and then is gone. How dare you be so arrogant that you would make a plan without God? He says, verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If we live till tomorrow, it's by the grace of God. If we live throughout 2019 bearing the second coming of Jesus, it'll be by the grace of God. James says, I want to remind you of something. There is a king who reigns on high, that rules over everything. And if it's his will, you'll live and do this or that. That word translated Lord is a word that you've probably heard before. It's the word kurios, kurios. In one of the dictionaries called Kittle's New Testament Word Pictures, Kittle spends 56 pages describing what that one word means. If I could boil down 56 pages into a concise statement, here's what Lord means. There is a king who has the right to call the shots in your life. There is a king who has the right to call the shots in your life. So before you make a plan for the next year and leave God out, let's remind you of this, James says. If it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this. Now, I want to tell you, James isn't trying to tell you to add another cliche to your conversation. That's what we need, is another religious cliche, right? We don't need any more religious cliches. James isn't trying to say to you, now in your conversation when you say, well, you know what? Why don't we meet at Cheddar's for lunch after church? Well, if the Lord wills, I'll see you there. That's not what James is saying. He's saying what you need to do is recognize that there is a Lord above all things who has the right to call the shots in your life. Don't make a plan without Him. If it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. Now, if I decide to make Him Lord of my life, there are some implications that follow that. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, find a blank page at the back and write this down. At the top of the page, put 2019. 2019. Because this is what lordship means. This is how it translates into real life for us. Write the statement under 2019. I am willing. I'm willing. There are going to be four statements that follow. Number one, if He is Lord of your life, if you decide to make Him Lord, here's what that means. I am willing to receive what He gives. To receive what He gives. This may be the year, 2019, that God says yes to you. This may be the year that God says yes to your prayer for a mate, and God sends you that mate that you've been praying for. This may be the year that God says yes to you who've longed for a baby and haven't had one yet. This may be the year that God says yes. This may be the year that you get that promotion you've been praying for. This may be the year that your business absolutely goes over the top and begins to do things that you've dreamed about. Maybe this is the year that God says yes to you in relationships and He brings some people into your life that make your life richer and better because you feel so isolated and alone so many times. Maybe this is the year God says yes. If He's the Lord of my life, I'm willing to receive what He gives. That's the easy one. Number two, if He's the Lord of my life, it means I'm willing to lack what He withholds. Maybe God says no again this year. Means that I'm going to praise Him in spite of the fact that He says no. Dwight Thompson is a television personality who can really preach. More than 20 years ago, I heard him tell this story. He said when he was a teenager, his brother was involved in a car accident, a bad one. So they called the family, and the whole family, devout, praying, hardcore followers of Jesus, and they all came to the hospital and were in the waiting room outside the emergency room. And they were all praying for Dwight's brother. After a while, the doctor came out and said to them, in spite of all we tried to do, Dwight's brother died. Dwight Thompson said, after all the shock and the tears in that waiting room, we finally went home and he said, I went to my room and he said, I have never been so angry in all my life. Went to my room and wept, and I was so mad at God. We had prayed so hard and so fervently for my brother, and yet he died anyway. You ever been there when you prayed so hard for something and God said no? He said, late that afternoon, my dad came in. He said, Dwight, wash your face, put on your clothes. It's time to go to church. Dwight Thompson said, I started protesting. Dad, I don't want to go to church. I mean, Dad, my brother died today in a car wreck. Dad, I don't want to go to church today. He says, Dwight, you get up and wash your face and put on your clothes. It's time to go to church. What are we going to do, Dwight? We're just going to praise God when things are good? We're just going to praise God when he says yes? No, Dwight. We're going to praise God when times are hard and when God says no and when our heart is breaking, because he is God. He's God. If he's Lord of my life, that means I'm willing to lack what he withholds. If he says no again this year, I'm going to praise him anyway. Number three, if he's Lord of my life, that means I'm going to answer his call. I am willing to answer his call. Maybe this year God taps you on the shoulder and says, I've got something I need you to do for me. If he's Lord of your life, you're willing to say yes. When Marcia and I moved to the Metroplex several years ago, we found the physician we had been looking for our whole adult life. She had a family practice in South Lake. Her practice was closed. She wasn't taking any new patients unless you happened to be related to one of her patients. And our daughter was already one of her patients, and so we got grandfathered in, pardon the pun. In her late 30s, extremely bright, especially in internal medicine, full family practice, and she was never in a hurry, incredibly insightful, perceptive. I mean, she was just an amazing physician. I couldn't believe how good she was. Never was in a hurry. In December, after 2 years of being one of her patients, we got a letter from her that said she was retiring from her medical practice. She's in her late 30s. In the last paragraph, she said, I'm retiring from my medical practice in order to become the director of missions at my church. Well, it just so happened, the next week after we got that letter, I was in for a six-month checkup. And when I got in there, I sat down with her. I said, now, Stacy, I don't know anything about the practice of medicine. I don't know how hard that is. I don't know, you know, dealing with insurance companies and patients. I don't know anything about medicine. But let me tell you something, Stacy. I know a whole lot about what you say you're fixing to do. And I need to ask you one question. Why are you doing this? She folded down the top of her laptop computer that she had been typing on, and she looked at me and she said, I feel called by God to do this. That's the answer. Maybe in 2019, God taps you on the shoulder to do something he wants you to do. Something that may be hard and difficult and uncomfortable. If he's the Lord of your life, you say yes anyway. Yes. If he's Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to answer his call. Here's the last one. Y'all are doing great. We're almost done. Y'all are doing great. Almost finished. Here we are. Number four. If he's Lord of your life, that means I'm willing to be what he requires. I'm willing to be what he requires. You see, following Jesus is not so much about doing as it's about being. And if he's Lord of my life, it means I am willing to submit to his leadership in my life, and I'm willing to be what he requires of me. I got to tell you something, that one is really hard. It means that if I'm a student, then on the campus where I go to school, it means I'm going to have to swim upstream because most of the people in that school are not going the direction God is calling you. At work, it means I'm going to have to swim upstream because most of the people you work beside, if you're in a secular business of some sort, they're not going the same direction that God is calling you. And it's hard to swim upstream, to go against the grain, to go against the culture. But if He is Lord of my life, I have decided that I'm willing to be what He requires. And the church said, if you can look into the seeds of time and tell which ones will grow, speak then to me. But since you can't, why not submit to the one who not only knows the future, but holds the future? Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful for what you've done for us in Jesus. We're thankful that you have brought us through another year. And here as we stand on the brink of another year unfolding, we pray that you will help us remember that you are the King and that you rule over all. And I pray you'll forgive us for our arrogance of setting our agendas and our plans and scheduling our lives without even so much as a thought of you. God, would you help us put you in the center of all we have and all we are? Would you help us to truly submit to your Lordship in 2019 and be the person you require? Empower us by your Spirit to live at times going against the grain and swimming upstream. But God, make us your special people, that those around us might see we're followers of Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen.